You can turn to Ephesians chapter 4. You ready? Okay. Every believer, that means all of us, and everybody else who is born again into God's family receives the same gift, the same abilities, the same rights, the same privileges, the same access, the same authority, and the same love, and on and on and on and on. Because God is no respecter of persons. Yet many continue to walk totally by the five senses, are deceived and led away by the transitory things of the world. And yet others see the power of God more and more in their lives and in their walk. I have a quote here. It says, unless the believer continues to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, unless he studies to show himself approved unto the Father, he or she will continue to remain unspiritual in his walk and will not manifest the abundance which God made available. Enthusiastic believing is engendered, gives rise to, propagates, by continued growth and development. Did you get that? Enthusiastic believing is engendered by continued growth and development. As long as we walk by the information of the five senses rather than by the revealed word of God, the Spirit of God within man will never be developed, and we will continue to walk as mere men rather than sons of God. So again, you know, there's a how to this, right? How do you walk spiritually? And of course, the word tells us. Mention was made of the new year and in the prayers and so on. And, you know, it is a new year. It's a time when people go, okay, this year I'm going to really get on top of this or that, and I'm going to really change some things. And this is the year I'm really going to get serious about whatever. And, you know, we always do these type of things. But the Word of God says we're to be renewed day by day. You know, every day is a new day to us, and every day is a new beginning and a new chance for us to walk with God. Chapter 4 of Ephesians is the practical side of Ephesians in response to the doctrine in the first three chapters, where it tells us all the great things that God has done for us and in us through Christ Jesus and what we are in Christ Jesus. In verse 13, it says, until we come unto the unity of the faith or believing and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's a mouthful, you know, but it's talking about what? At the return, right? Until that time when we become perfect, when we get new bodies, when we have a full and complete knowledge of what's going on. Until that time, we are, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And, you know, how do you protect yourself from being deceived in life? Well, by God's word, yeah, but by knowledge, right? You have knowledge, you know. If you want to buy a car, you either get knowledge, like I know my sons now, they go on the internet and they do all this research and they see, well, this car is the best car and this car has the least amount of recalls and this car is this and that and blah, blah, blah. And they go on and on and on. Sorry, Stella. And they go on and on and on. I told her I wouldn't say blah, blah, blah anymore. So strike that from the tape. We'll edit it out. Okay. But, you know, et cetera, on and on and on and on. And if you're going to buy a house, you do what? You get somebody that's knowledgeable in real estate and you do those kind of things. But in life in general, we need a knowledge of God's word so we're not deceived about spiritual things. If we want to walk spiritually, we need a knowledge of God and we don't want to be deceived. And the deceptions usually come, ultimately they come from the adversary. But generally speaking, in our lives, we're deceived by people. you know, by the things of the world. We're deceived by, you know, the philosophies of the world and what the world purports. You know, somewhere in the Gospels, Jesus Christ talks about being wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And, you know, to be wise as a serpent means to be wise concerning the things of the world. It's not that we're to be unknowledgeable of them, but we are to apply them and receive them in light of God's word. You know, we have to understand what God's word says about it. So here it says that we're not to be tossed to and fro. We're not to vacillate. You know what vacillate means, right? Up and down, back and forth. We're not to vacillate on God's word. We're not to vacillate and be deceived by mankind and by the things of the world. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And God exhorts us to grow up in Christ, in the things of Christ. And, you know, this is in light of, again, verse 13, until the return when we have all believing, all knowledge, and we have a new body and we're perfect and the full measure of Christ. Until that time, we're supposed to keep growing. You know, in the world, physically, you stop growing at a certain point. Mentally, you can keep growing your whole life if you desire to. You can keep learning. Hopefully, when I go to the doctor, he's on top of the newest things, or you go to the dentist, and he's up on the best ways to take care of your teeth. You rely on him to stay. But if he stopped learning back in 1956, he's missing out on a lot of good stuff, and you probably have a lot more pain. You know, we as believers spiritually need to keep growing. We need to keep on top of it. We need to keep that word fresh and alive in our minds. We're to continue to grow up in Christ spiritually. Verse 16, whom is Christ, the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted or knit together by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The more we grow, the more spiritually we walk, the more we contribute to the body of Christ. And the more believers, the more parts of that body of Christ that grow and continue to contribute, the healthier and the more blessed the whole body is. Pretty simple. You know, so then we go on. Verse 17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk, you know, live your life, how you conduct things in your life, not as Gentiles walk. Gentiles are unbelievers. The man on the street, Joe, whoever he is, you know, we're not to walk like they walk. We're not to live the way they live. As we heard in the prayer today or in the manifestations, you know, God has set us apart. We are sanctified. We're not to live like that because we're not like them. So it says, therefore testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, the emptiness, the futility of their mind, of their thoughts. You know, natural man's thoughts are empty and futile. When they're not based on the Word of God, thoughts are not sound. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, it says here that Gentiles, their understanding is darkened, they're alienated or estranged from the life of God. Now, if we think like them, we are in darkness to the degree that we walk like them, and we are estranged from the life of God to the degree and to the extent that we walk like them, aren't we? through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You know, we don't have to be ignorant, do we? We don't have to be in the dark because we have the light of God's word. And if we put it into our hearts and minds, then we have light. And it says, goes on to say about these Gentiles, who being past feeling, which means hardness of heart, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. I love that word. Lasciviousness. Lustful. Wanting in excess of what you need. To work all uncleanness with greediness. All uncleanness with greediness. Just never have enough. Never satisfied with anything. Always got to have more, more, more. This, and that. But ye have not so learned Christ. In contrast, you haven't learned Christ. That's not the way you learned to live. That's not what God has called us to. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. We're to put off the former conversation, the former way of life, the old man. You know, the old man is our old nature, right? It's our sin nature. And we're to put it off, and the word put off is like you would take off a shirt or a jacket. You know, how hard is it to take a shirt off or a jacket? You know, you take it off, you put it off. Put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And lusts are deceitful. Oh, if I don't have this, I'm not going to be happy. You know, things really don't make you happy. They may make you, you know, smile for a little while, but, you know, the cool jeans of today are not the cool jeans tomorrow, right? Or the cool shoes this week are not the cool shoes next week. And the new car this week is the rusty pile of junk 2 years down the road or whatever. You know, I don't care if you buy the most expensive car ever made, Rolls Royce or whatever, eventually they rot, don't they? They go bad. And that's the way it is. So lusts are deceitful. You know, the things that we think we need or can't live without in life are deceitful. Because what we really need and what all we really need is God. Because God is our sufficiency. God is our strength. And then it goes on to say, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We are to be renewed. We can renew day by day, right? The inner man is renewed day by day. Every day is a new day. Every day is a new start with God. Whatever mistakes you made yesterday, whatever things you screwed up yesterday, whatever things you did wrong are forgotten, forgiven. They're past. It doesn't matter. All that matters is right now. You know, you only have to believe God right now. That's the only time you have to believe God. You don't have to worry about believing him in the future. It doesn't matter if you believed him in the past. All that matters is believing him right now. That's all that matters. It's pretty crazy, isn't it? Pretty amazing. God is an amazing God. Our spiritual walk can be developed and honed. You know what honed means, right? Made sharp. Just as easily and just as well as our mental disciplines and as our physical skills. You know, and everything we do in life, we develop and we hone to one degree or another, right? And I'm sure there are some things in life that you have developed and become good at. And if you think back when you started, you probably weren't that good at it, but you worked at it and you developed it and you became good at it. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. So we can develop ourselves spiritually. We can develop our spiritual abilities and skills. We can hone them. We can become sharp. Chapter 1 of 2 Peter verse 4, we're going to begin. This is really a great little section here. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And that's absolutely a great little statement, isn't it? we have been given great and precious promises. The promises of God. You know, when God gives you a promise and you act on it, he's going to keep that promise, isn't he? He backs up those promises. The promises of God are as good as God. God is perfect. That by these great and precious promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature. And might be is may become, or Walter Cummins translates it, ye became. By these ye became partakers. And the word partakers is the noun form of koinonia, you know, which is fellowship, full sharing. We share fully in the divine nature. And the divine nature, the word divine, is the godly nature. It's the word theos or theos. It's a form of, you know, it's not the noun form, but it's the adjective form of God, godly. We are partakers, full sharers in the godly nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Right? Makes a connection back there to Ephesians. You know, it says we're not to be deceived by the lust of the world. And it says here that we have escaped the corruption of the world through lust. You know, we have escaped that corruption if we decide to walk and renew our minds. And besides knowing this, it gives us some instruction here. It says, give all diligence, all diligence. What does all diligence mean? Give your best effort. Give your absolute best effort, your sustained best effort. It says, give all diligence, or give your best sustained effort, and add to your believing virtue. So we're to add to our believing, and what we are to add is virtue. Virtue is excellence of character or moral goodness. You know, we all know what's right and wrong according to the God's word, right? And so we choose whether we're going to be morally good or not morally good, you know. We get choices all the time whether we should lie or not lie. Sometimes it seems like the easy way out. I can just tell a little fib and I don't have to deal with this anymore. Or, I can take a stapler from work. Everybody else does. Or I can take paper clips and pencils and pens or whatever. But that's stealing, isn't it? Unless you ask. So we're to give all diligence and add to our believing virtue, moral goodness. And to virtue, that moral goodness, we're also to add knowledge. The word for knowledge here is gnosis. Experiential knowledge or in-depth insight into things. And are we not only to add virtue and knowledge to our believing, but we're also to add to our knowledge temperance, which is self-control or self-mastery or self-discipline. And we're also to add to our toolbox of spiritual abilities and skills, temperance, self-control. And then we are to add to the self-control, patience. Doctors are always trying to add patience. That's a bad one. Patience is the word hupomone. It means to bear up under, or patient endurance, or bearing up under. You know, so when you have a heavy load, you bear up under it. You hang in there. You have patient endurance. And then to the patience, we are also to add godliness. What is godliness? Godliness is the Greek word eusebia. It is the exact opposite of the Greek word for religious. Religious meaning the outward forms of, you know, rituals and ceremonies and, you know, kneeling down and standing up and lighting candles and saying prayers by memory and so on and so forth. It's the opposite of that. It is a true, real, vital relationship with God. That's what it means. A true, vital, spiritual relationship with God. It means you really have a relationship with God. You know, there are lots of people that are religious, but they have no relationship with God. You know, they wouldn't miss church if their life depended on it. They got to go there and they got to say their prayers and they got to put their money in and they got to stand up and they know every bit of the liturgy and they know the responses and they know the songs and they know the memorized prayers and everything else, but they have no relationship with God. So God says we're to be godly. We're to have godliness, a true, vital, spiritual relationship. You know, we talk to God, we listen to God, we love God and let Him love us. And we have a relationship. Then it goes on in verse 7, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness is Philadelphia, brotherly love. That's what it is. And to brotherly love, charity, agape, love of God and a renewed mind in manifestation. So here we have a list of different skills or attributes or abilities that we can put into our lives, and they're all connected by ands, and, you know, it's add to your believing diligence, or with diligence add virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. So that's a figure of speech, and it's that each and every one of those things is emphasized. And there's seven of them. And the number seven represents what in the Bible? Spiritual perfection. Wow, that's pretty cool. Pretty cool. And then it says in verse 8, and if these things be in you, and you're working on them, and you're adding them to your believing, and they abound, which means they are increasing. That's what the word abound there means. And they are increasing. That means they're not static or stagnant. You know, stagnant water. What's stagnant water like? It gets kind of murky and algae grows on it and smells. That's what happens when we get stagnant in our spiritual life. You know, we get murky. Who wants to be murky here? We're to grow in these things and they're to be increasing. See? We're to abound in them. Growing in them. Like we're to grow in Christ. For if these things be in you and abound or increase, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, people have great knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're stagnant. You know, it's not living, it's not real, it's not exciting in their life. And they're not looking to grow, and they're not looking to increase and abound. And so they become stagnant. That's what happens. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And that's what happens when you become stagnant. You forget the greatness of what Christ did for you and the great vitality of life that God has given us. And you become, you know, beat up spiritually. You get beat up spiritually. You either will go one of two ways. You will either become guilt-ridden, and you become legalistic, or you'll say, the hell with it all. Let's just go have fun. That's what happens. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, or instead, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do those things, you know, you add to your believing virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly love and charity, and you're growing in them and increasing them, then if you do these things, you shall never fall. That's pretty simple and straightforward, isn't it? Yep. A list of seven things. Wow, isn't that great? And they are for us to abide by and live. We are to put these qualities, these abilities, these things in our lives, and we're to increase and grow. Practice and exercise in spiritual life is more important than the practice and exercise we do in our physical or mental lives. And we do that stuff. I mean, a lot of us think it's important to, you know, exercise, to eat properly, to use our brain so we don't get mushy. But it's more important to do this stuff with God's word and to do these things that God directs us to do, to grow in his word, to grow in Christ, to sharpen ourselves spiritually. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Again, this is in the practical section of Ephesians, telling us how to do things. And so we know the seven things that we are to do, and we are to increase and grow in them. And when we do those things, you know, we're going to be blessed. We won't fall. We won't, you know, we're going to keep moving ahead. We're going to be vitally, spiritually vital and alive. And verse 6 of chapter 5 of Ephesians says, let no man deceive you with vain words. Again, it goes back to that whole thing about man deceiving us or the lust of the world deceiving us. It says, let no man deceive us. You know, the lust of the world, if you watch television for an hour, just 1 hour, you know, regular TV where they do commercials, you're going to get about 65 vain words from man that's trying to deceive you about something. And they do it in really interesting and unusual ways sometimes. Anyway, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now, we're not children of disobedience because we're born again, aren't we? But we can act like it, can't we? We can be like them in our actions and in our lives. Be not therefore partakers with them. We're not, we're to fully share of what? The divine nature. And we are partakers of the divine nature, God's nature. We're to have that life with God. Remember it says Gentiles are estranged, or alienated from the life with God. Well, we're to live a life with God. So it says, be not partakers with them. With who? The children of disobedience, the unbelievers, the Gentiles. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We're to walk in the light of God's word. We're to walk in the light of what God has done for us, what he's given us, who he's made us. We're to walk in that light. For the fruit of the Spirit, and the word Spirit there is not in the Greek text. It should be for the fruit of light. The fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Goodness is kindness, the quality of him who is ruled by and aims at the good moral worth, which would be, you know, God. And remember that word virtue, to be morally excellent, right? So that connects with this word goodness. And of course, righteousness. Righteousness is the justice according to God's standard. What's right according to God's standard? Or what's just according to God's standard? And truth. And the word truth here is means eternal verity, or the unchanging truth and standard of God's word. So the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We're to have no fellowship, no sharing with the unfruitful works of darkness. What are the unfruitful works of darkness? Well, you know, being deceitful, being dishonest, being greedy, you know, all kinds of stuff. Anything that's not godly is a work of darkness. But rather, in light of not sharing, we are to reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak those things which are done of them in secret. It's a shame even to speak of, oh, look at that guy. He's really interesting. He's a con artist and he gets away with it. Isn't he cool? Or, you know, it's a shame to even talk about it. That's a pretty high standard. Yeah. But, you know, it's something that we should aspire to. It's what we should aspire to. We are to live on a different plane than natural man, aren't we? But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Wow. Circumspectly, carefully, precisely. I looked up this word. I never looked up this word before. I just always, you know, we were taught years and years ago it meant accurately or precisely or carefully. But the word literally means, it comes from a couple of different words. It's a compound word in Greek. It literally means climbing to the summit or the peak, like in mountain climbing, which requires great care and preciseness. Otherwise, what happens? You fall and get hurt or die. That's what it means to walk circumspectly, like you're climbing the Alps or Mount Everest or something like that. And, you know, you have to be really careful and precise in your walk. So that's what it means to walk circumspectly. It's pretty cool. Not as fools, but as wise. So it really draws a distinction there. If you walk circumspectly, you're being wise in light of God's word. And if you're not walking circumspectly, you're a fool. That's pretty straightforward and simple, isn't it? Pretty straightforward and simple. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, we know that that means evil in the sense of you only get one shot at every day. You know, once you do it, you can't get it back. So if you don't use it wisely, what did you do? You wasted it. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And how do we understand what the will of the Lord is? Well, from the Bible. And of course, then once we have the Bible in our brain, then he can really work with us and direct us and show us what we need to do specifically. And be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Pretty straightforward. Be not drunk. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's what we are to do. We're to be blessed. We should be pretty light in our attitude towards life. That doesn't mean that we don't have to handle difficult things or you know, there's not sadness in life or grief in life at times, but we still have an overwhelming promise from God that should keep us pretty light in our hearts because we have eternal life and we have those great and precious promises and we have all eternity to look forward to. So we can speak to ourselves and sing to ourselves in spiritual songs and in psalms and hymns, making a melody unto the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of Christ or in great respect for Christ. We are to submit ourselves one to another, and we're to be thankful all the time. We have so much to be thankful for. And there's no reason why we shouldn't be thankful every day. Every breath we take, we should be thankful because God supplied the air. Every time we drink a glass of water or eat a piece of food or, turn on the lights in the house, it's all from God. And we need to be thankful. We need to keep that attitude of thankfulness in our lives. So God has given us how to walk spiritually. It's just up to us to do it. You know, we put the word of God into our brains and we continue to walk and we continue to grow in those things, in the virtue, in the godliness, in the believing, and all those things that God has listed for us and told us. And we're not to be deceived by the thoughts of the world and the ways of the world and the lusts of the flesh, but rather we're to take it to God's word and to see what to do, and we walk in the light. So that's what I wanted to share on this New Year's First Fellowship.